In 2004, a priest named Monsignor Andrew Kuzak died. Monsignor Andy Kuzak was well known throughout the country for his ministry, especially to priests. He would give many priest retreats and workshops and things like that. Andy was a man whose presence filled the room. Not only was he physically a big man, a towering man, but he had this huge smile on his face all the time and this wild shock of white hair, like a wild man. And I'll never forget when I heard, when I was on a, when I heard him give a talk on a retreat, and he said, someone came up to me and said, "You're Catholic. All that guilt." And he said, "Yes, isn't it wonderful?" And then Andy went on to explain to us that guilt is a wonderful gift. Guilt is a good thing. Because number one, it shows that we have a conscience. And number two, guilt moves us to repentance. It moves us to something better. Whereas the problem, he said, is not guilt. What is bad is shame. Shame does not do anything productive. Shame is when we beat ourselves up. Shame is when we don't move from where we are because we're paralyzed with bad feelings about ourselves and self-blame. So today, God announces good news to Joshua in our first reading. He says, "Today I have taken the shame of Egypt away from you." And then we hear about how God brings his people to their new home at last after 40 years of wandering in the desert, and they eat what the land produces. They don't need the manna anymore. And that's God's good news to us in that living word today. Because Egypt is a symbol for our bondage to sin. And God's good news for us is that he liberates us from shame, the shame of our sin, and he invites us to the table, a place of reconciliation. And that is the good news of Laetare Sunday, the spiritual comfort of this fourth Sunday of Lent. God calls us from our sin and shame to fellowship with him at the Eucharistic table. And this is where the journey of our elect and candidates will culminate, and where our Lenten contrition brings us to. Now, today in our gospel parable, the prodigal son, prodigal in his debauchery and profligacy, finds himself really faced with four options when he finds himself feeding the pigs. Number one, he can just hope that he gets back on his feet to continue his life of sin and excess and maybe find himself someday in a worse position than he's already in. Second option he has is that he can say that, you know, I did nothing to get me in this situation and take no responsibility for his deeds, that it was all somehow somebody else's fault. You know, my father was too indulgent. He shouldn't have given me the money in the first place. Or my older brother always teased me and belittled me and made me feel bad about myself, so that's why I did it. That's his second option. The third option is that he can just wallow in shame, like the pigs he's with are wallowing in the mud, and become filled with despair and depressed and hate himself. And then there's the fourth option, which is the one he chooses. He faces his guilt. He admits it. He gets up And he moves from that place and returns to his Father. And if we take our Lent seriously, it will move us to do the same. These 40 days of Lent will have meant nothing, and we will not experience the resurrection power and joy of Easter if we choose one of those other three options. Number one, if we just continue in a sinful status quo and make no effort to change during Lent at all. Or number two, if we think that we're just too good and repentance really isn't needed in our life, and anything bad that happens is because of somebody else. Or number three, we can just say, I'm so bad that even God can't forgive me. That's shame. No, let us have a healthy contrition through our self-scrutiny during Lent to lead us to a deeper self-knowledge. Let us join those sinners at the beginning of our gospel today. Do you remember them? We heard about how all these sinners were drawing near to Jesus and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining. No, those sinners did not remain complacent in their sin. And they didn't become blindly self-righteous like the Pharisees and the older son in our gospel parable. And they didn't let the shame of their sin keep them away from Jesus. No, we hear that they crowded around Jesus to listen to him speak. Well, let's join that crowd around our Savior in these last weeks of Lent. Do you know he is already looking on each one of us in the misery of our separation from him with pity? And once our healthy guilt moves us to move to him, he runs to us and clasps us in his arms and celebrates. So as St. Paul earnestly exclaims in our second reading, be reconciled to God. Amen.